Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio. Diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Welcome back to the podcast, guys. A little bit different setup today. I have finally got my studio set up completely. Laura is still in her little white box.
Yeah, so I guess you'll have to upload a little video of this, but why don't you describe this new studio to the fans who can't see it?
Well, so me and Dee have started another podcast, which is just for River City Barbell, just more to like narrow down. Like I said in previous things, we've been talking about like narrowing down like on topics and content that I really inspire to talk about. Like, and you would have seen recently some of the stuff that's been going up. Like, I've been putting some stuff up about ASD and things that help me with my ADHD at training and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of narrow down things a bit more and speak to my audience a bit more about like topics and things we love. So the easiest way to do that and create like content and mass produce it at a low price was to create a podcast, because then we can snip the podcast up into like reels and be all super creative on that type of stuff, have guests on. Like, I'm going to be having a section on it that's called Lifting on the Spectrum, which will be about with other lifters that are on the spectrum, whether they have ASD, ADHD, Asperger's, like any of the things like that, and their ways and how they cope and how it's helped them with their lifting. Just because, like, whenever I post something about ADHD or ASD, like, it gets a lot of like views and a lot of people comment on it, and you don't really realize how many people are actually on the spectrum. So it's pretty crazy. So, like, yeah. I just thought, like, I've been working with someone recently and I was like, let's just dive completely down that road and just, because most of my team's like on the spectrum, not all of them, but most of them, they say that, like, if you're on the spectrum, you attract people that are on the spectrum. So that's what I'm doing. So we created River City Unlimited, and it's literally about powerlifting, mental health, all that type of stuff. The first two episodes, we recorded one last night and we'll be recording another next week, which will be my story and Dee's story as well. My story, most people have heard, but I went into like a full hour, and I think it was an hour and 15 minutes. And so we went into a fair amount of depth on that. And then, yeah, so we built this studio to back to originals, Laura's original question before I got sidetracked, just a different colored brick wall. And then my favorite artist on either side, which is Banksy. We went to his exhibition like 2 weeks ago and I bought some posters and got them. And then in the middle here is not here yet, but it's getting made at the moment. There will be a sign that says, so I took a quote from Banksy and I interpreted it into my business. So it used to say, art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. I changed it to powerlifting should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. So that's kind of like our phrase for like River City Unlimited, because, you know, you see a lot of people in powerlifting who are not necessarily disturbed but been through a lot in their life, and they find like powerlifting comfortable, keeping them like in their, taking them out of their comfort zone, but that is what keeps them comfortable. So yeah, so like it's all kind of falling in place and soon it'll be up. But still a few minor adjustments, building an intro for it and all that type of stuff. But, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, nice. So when are we expecting to see this new podcast launching?
I'm waiting for the intro, so it might be not till the end of next month. So, like, we'll have a heap of episodes. But it'll be just, like, honestly, like, there'll be a heap of structure built around it. So expect, like, some really good, like, content and information coming from it. Not necessarily, like, just because I think I'm smart, but the structure around it's going to be completely different than I've ever done anything with content. So kind of finding what I love and then kind of spending a like good hour or two to write out some stuff to build like sections in the podcast of what we talk about, so that when it gets broken down into videos and that, it kind of really directs towards who we want to direct it towards, that type of thing. So just really building a bit more structure around it. And yeah, because it's in person too, I feel like, you know, there's so much you can talk through a screen, but when it's in person, it's so much more personal. Like, me and Dee had a conversation last night when we were doing my story, and it was like, I kind of slipped into a little bit deeper about my story than I've ever spoke about before, because like the mood was there rather than through a screen. You kind of like, is this person getting bored of me? Or like, you know, like yeah, there's nothing to distract you. It's just you. And it's more like easiest word way to put it is like, it's more intimate.
Yeah. More like a conversation. Whereas, yeah, I guess sometimes you'd be like, is the screen frozen or is Matt just there like looking at me like that?
But I did swear a lot. I don't know if it's because it's my podcast. I don't care now that like what who might listen to it, but like there was a lot of fuck in it. So sorry in advance, guys. I don't know why. I guess like because it's my potty and it reflects who I am, I didn't really care too much. So.
Yeah. I don't think many people would get offended by that, but you never
so,
know.
So what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Yeah, been a pretty busy week. I think it'd be about 8 weeks till Nationals now. So comp prep officially starts next week, training-wise, back into the wraps, already back on the deadlift bar, so it's all happening. Apart from that, pretty normal week. My sister is in hospital currently, starting the labor for her baby. So I just keep checking my phone to see if I get a picture of the little baby boy yet.
I was going
to
be your auntie.
It's the first baby. I'm going to be an auntie. Auntie duties. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's very exciting. First baby in the family.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm, yeah, looking forward to it. So I'll probably give her a couple of weeks to settle into mum life, even though it will take a lot longer to settle in, but give her a couple of weeks to get home and settled a little bit, and then I'll go visit. Yeah, meet That's my cute. Little nephew.
Kids are cool till they start crying.
Yeah.
When you're having babies.
No babies at the moment. I currently have 4 kilos to lose over the next 8 weeks. So no food babies, no human babies. The weight's got to drop.
I'm past my expiry date, 37.
And you've just got all the fur babies now.
Yeah, it's got dogs, literally. I moved on to like that crazy guy with dogs instead of like having babies. Like, did you see last night I posted a photo of Benchy with the head mic on? And it's like this week we have like
– No.
Have a look at it. This week we have Warrior's Edge, biggest bench presser on Benchy the Frenchie, and it's got him with like the head mic sitting on the couch in my story.
Bench presser, Benchy the Frenchie. That is a pretty cool photo.
Yeah. It took me ages to get that photo, but like he did not want to do it. And then I got trouble.
It was worth it.
D for putting him on the couch. Because it's the brand new couch. We only bought it like literally spanking brand new. So,
did you tell her it's just what you've got to do to get the content for the gram?
Yeah, I was like, I just got to get the likes. I just want, you know, all the love on social media. Isn't that what today's society is all about? The love.
Got to give the fans what they want. Anything for that instant gratification off random strangers.
I won't say fans, I'll say haters. Anyhow. I got another meet this week, two meets this week and the week after. So by the time everyone sees this again, it'll be 2 weeks. But I got a couple of girls and a guy competing at Redcliffe's biggest deadlift meet, which should be good. All going very well.
Ooh.
Two girls should pull over 190, and Brandon coming in at 74 kilos should pull like 260, 270. So should be fun to see that. Should be a good eventful day with the boys out there. Story Gym's like a local gym out here. They always put on like really, really good novice competitions and deadlift meets. So I'm excited for that. But that's it for me really. And I think that's us to slide into today's topic. Today I spoke to Laura because we did the series of like squat, bench and deadlift about like technique. I was thinking like we could go into like each week over the next coming weeks about programming from my perspective as a coach. Squat, we'll start with squat this week, and her perspective from maybe a rehab perspective on like if there's injuries come up, how you would minimize X, Y and Z to create like you'd be able to squat again. So like for me personally, like it just comes down to like the person and what their experience as a squatter is. And something that I look at is like how their technique is, where their technique breaks down. So like whether they need to squat more, whether they need to be overloaded more on a heavier single or a double or a triple. It just comes down to like whether you're a beginner lifter or an advanced lifter. So, you know, with a beginner lifter, that's where I obviously start. If you come in, you've never squatted before, we're going to obviously see if you can squat. If you can't squat, we're going to regress you back to a squat movement, whether it's a safety bar, a goblet squat, to teach you how to squat with a barbell. If you're okay on a barbell, say that you've already squatted before, you're just a beginner that's been in the gym for a while, we're going to probably give you volume first and just really push some hypertrophy, build some muscle. And then after a phase or two in volume, whether it's sixes or fives or whatever, we'll probably fade down into like a strength phase where we're going to overload or stimulus on weight, which is and probably give you less volume so that we can see whereabouts you're sitting in that phase of strength, so that when we do go into something, say a peaking phase or someone that's just going to test their 1RM, we can kind of see where technique breaks down so we can improve it while you're doing more reps rather than singles. The way I look at singles, like if I'm going to give someone singles, I like to give someone that's new to it like a rising RPE. So if you're going to do singles in a peaking phase and you've never peaked before, it's nice to be able to do like say RP 6.5, 7 and 7.5 over a couple of periods of weeks to kind of practice that single at a lighter weight, hit another single at a bit heavier, and then when you get to that top set, you've kind of switched yourself on in that preparedness to kind of hit that top single, knowing that if you made a mistake on the second or first, you can kind of correct it a little bit. Whereas like if I just gave you an overloaded single at the top RPE, you're not going to have that chance to kind of correct it if it didn't feel as good on the first top single. What's your opinion on that from your experience?
Yeah, I think you've made some good points. I think, yeah, I guess from my point of view, when programming for squats, like you said, there's a lot of different squat variations you can program for someone. So if they are a beginner, like they might not be necessarily ready to express the skill of like a low bar or high bar squat yet. And that's where, yeah, you can look at your movement regressions, like your front squat, goblet squat, counterbalance squat, like anything that's going to kind of force them to get into the right position if you can't cue it. But yeah, if someone is having an issue with their squatting, like if they're getting pain with their squatting, obviously the first step is to like, if you cue it, can they then like express that skill better and be out of pain? And obviously behind the scenes as a physio, we're assessing how they're moving, we're assessing why they're getting pain, like why they're overloading certain areas, why they moving in a certain way, whether it's shifting to one side, butt wink, whatever it is. So we're working on that behind the scenes. But what we want to do is we typically want to keep that squat pattern in. Like there's rarely a reason to have to take it out. So yeah, we can either modify that variation of a squat, like regress it to a variation they can perform well, perform without pain. Or yeah, there's many different modifications you can make to make that squat easier or to make it pain-free, but to keep it in. So if someone was getting maybe like hip pain at the bottom of a squat, maybe you can do a pin squat and stop just before that point of pain. Obviously in the background, you're trying to work on releasing what is tight. You're trying to strengthen what is weak, but we can still modify so they can still do their squatting pattern without pain. Again, maybe we need to reduce the load so they can help recover and rehab their injury, allow their body to heal. So maybe we can do more a tempo squat. So it's like they're going to be advantages of a tempo squat. They're going to be able to like be really hyper aware of the position they're in because they're doing it nice and slow, nice and controlled. And the load's going to be a lot less. So that just gives them more opportunity to, I guess, heal while they're then also working on technique to get back into their proper squatting. So yeah, I think from our point of view, like you can always regress, you can always modify, but there's rarely a need to have to take a squatting pattern out of someone's program.
Yeah, totally. I agree on the tempo thing too. Like I'd probably skip that at the start. If with a beginner, someone that is like new to it, I will give tempo a lot of the time or pauses in like the hole on a squat. It's funny. I love it. I had a guy come to me recently, Tom, He started coaching with me after nationals, and I gave him pause squats, and he's like, what the fuck are these? I've never had them before. And I'm like, dude, you're telling me you've been lifting for like 2 years and you've never done a pause squat? I'm like, God, shit. Like, he's got a big squat. Like, he squatted like 240 in sleeves. It's not like a small lifter. And I'm like, this is why, like, because the first thing that happens to him is like he rolls forward. And I'm like, well, we need to fix that position in the hole. So he's a bit more of an advanced like lifter. So I'm going to challenge him in that position in the bottom of the hole, and then we can kind of correct that as well. So, yeah, it's like pause squats are great, tempos are great, but you just got to find where that person's breaking down. And a lot of the time I see in newbies, it's either the brace, which we can go back to like regressing things, but you still keep your squat in there where, you know, you might give someone a gobbler squat, teach them how to put stack their rib cage over their pelvis, and then you move them up to like a squat afterwards so then they can just imitate what they just did. So it, to me, like the tempo is great for that as well. So you can teach someone how to hold that position whilst they're feeling themselves in space over a certain amount of a tempo.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I guess the quicker someone does it, like the more likely they are to, I guess, muck it up if they don't have that practice, yeah. If they don't have that repetition. Like if, yeah, whereas, yeah, like you said, that tempo, they can kind of feel the movement and see and just reinforce that pattern as well. So then over time that pattern's reinforced, they can do it quicker with like less room for error. But yeah, like you said, with programming, it just depends on what that person's goal is. And usually if they're a novice lifter, it's going to be more on improving the skill of the lift. Like just by improving the skill itself, they don't have to get any stronger. They don't have to get any more muscle mass, but they're going to be able to lift more just from improving that skill. Whereas maybe if someone's refined the skill a lot more, they just need to get like a little bit more muscle mass. Like maybe the focus is a little bit more on hypertrophy and just building volume in that squat, just building the strength there. So yeah, like you said, depending on the client and the goal, what you're going to program is going to be quite different. And then if you're also identifying like the weak part of their lift, like you said, for a lot of people, it is the brace. So cool. Like what else are you doing outside of that squat to help improve that? Do they have some kind of ab work? Do they have like maybe some lat work with maintaining that brace, not being in a hyperextended position? Like what else are you doing to kind of teach them that braced, compressed position that they need to hold in squats? So it's like obviously some of your accessories are going to relate to that weakness. It's not like obviously, like you said, if someone has a weakness in the bottom of the squat, yeah, you can do a poor squat to kind of help build that strength, kind of cue them so they can hold their brace in that position. But it's like also if they're losing that, it could also be like a abdominal strength issue or a bracing issue, pelvic stability issue. So it's like you'll probably end up doing accessories that are going to address those things. So it might not be super obvious to the client that these exercises are helping me brace the squat, but it's like you've in the background got all these accessories which are going to be only complementing that and making them stronger in the weakest part of the lift.
Totally. Sorry.
Because at the end of
You're not boring me either.
Yeah. Matty's just had a really big yawn. We're boring him here.
Yeah, like talking about that too, like when we look at like the brace and the everything breaking down, I think a lot of it with a newbie comes down to skill too. And I think people interpret like training programming for the squat, bench, and deadlift in a very – they interpret skill in a wrong way. In the wrong direction, right? So from my experience, and a lot of people argue with me on this, but this is my experience and it speaks through my lifters, like that their results as well. Your skill doesn't come from doing sets of 8 and 10 and all that shit. Like, you know, I'm someone who barely ever programs 8s for my clients. But if you look at someone who does volume at 8s, right? When you get to like a set of 6 or 5, how do you feel when you're squatting? Like absolute shit. So your technique starts to break down. So those reps towards the end of the sets end up start to be like shit reps anyway. So you open yourself up for more injury. You actually are not doing quality reps. So you're probably getting fuck all out of those last 3 reps anyway. So I don't really program 8s on squats unless it's like a safety bar and it's really low volume intensity. But the thing is, right, if we can build quality reps, but more sets, we're going to get in the same amount of volume. So our aim as a powerlifter is to do a 1RM that's technically proficient and move heavy weight. Not everyone's like 1RM is going to be technically proficient, but how do we imitate that through our programming? So if we look at doing less reps but more sets with a higher intensity, we're going to imitate that like 1RM a little bit more. And something that I've really seen in my lifters is when I do give like maybe 5x3 at a higher intensity on squats, their squat improves so much more. But that's my perspective and how I program. Not a lot of people are going to agree with me, but I just see like people have work stress, they have life stress, they have financial stress. That accounts to how much energy they can put into their work, their training session. So if someone's trying to do a set of 8 and they're already fatigued from their last set of 8, then they've got all this other stress in their life. Like they're going to lose their interest and love for training because it's going to become way too hard. So if we can change that by the way we structure the sets and still get similar amount of reps over a whole squat session in by doing either splitting the squat up over 2 days and giving them 2 sets of squats over 2 days from 2 different type of variations, or we can split the squat up by giving them more sets and less reps with a higher intensity, I've seen a way better result from that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with what you're saying with keeping the reps lower so you're not getting like building fatigue and losing form. Because the thing is, when you're learning a skill, and it's like in here, if we have to reteach people movement patterns or reteach like certain skills, relearning technique, it's like it's a hard thing to do because obviously your body's going to just want to move in the way it's built that strength, because strength is positional. So if they've been moving in a certain way, that's how they are going to be strongest. So it is going to be hard for them to change technique. And yeah, when you're relearning a skill, like you want perfect reps in. Otherwise, if you're getting like 5 good reps and then 3 bad reps, you're then those 3 bad reps are then reinforcing that old movement pattern. So yeah.
If you're doing a 4x8, right, for example, and you're doing 3 shit reps every 8 reps, right, that's 6, 9, 12 reps that you're wasting, and that's 12 reps you're opening yourself up for more chances of like niggles, injury, failing, and falling out of position. So that's how I look at it from that perspective. Like if you minimize that to 4x5 and they do 4 sets of 5 really fucking tidy, each one of them reps are going to account to more muscle gain, better skill, being able to push more intensity, and just becoming a better lifter in general.
Yep. And then from physio's point of view, like what I think it's something we mentioned with technique, but we mentioned that a lot of the times we see people with knee pain from lack of ankle mobility. Like that is not the only cause of knee pain in a squat, but it is a very common one. And so programming wise, like I find a lot of people have tight calves, but they don't necessarily have any calf training in their programming, which I think we did touch on. So it's like, as well as relearning the skill and perhaps strengthening weak parts of their movement, it's like things like this. Obviously, I often put it in people's prehab if they need it, but it's like, yeah, there's perhaps a missing link in programming, or there's like, yeah. Sometimes there's accessories that like you don't really realize are related that can help the squat. So if someone has better ankle mobility, they're going to be able to hit depth better. They're going to be able to bounce out of the hole better. Like their whole squat is going to be stronger, more powerful, more efficient movement. They're going to be able to lift more weight just from adding some calf raises in. Like obviously that's not the answer for everyone, but yeah, sometimes we're looking outside of just the skill of the movement, and sometimes we're looking at either like movement restrictions they have or instabilities they have to really help that person be able to properly express the strength that they do have.
And the thing is too, if someone has a, like I think the biggest band-aid that people do is put people in heels. Like I have lifters who I've put in heels, but at the same time I do give them ankle mobility as well. So I think like when we look at programming for a squat, we need to look at like every muscle that you use in a squat. So main people just look at like, oh, cool, you need to strengthen your quads, your hammies, your glutes, and then people don't look into your bench program, be like, cool, he can't hold his back, so we need to strengthen his back. So we need to give him like a position where we can find where his shoulders are in his squat, and then kind of like push that position in, like, say, a seated row, hold their position in that, and then really reinforce that by loading it also, so that when they go to squat next and they get force pull against that back, they've got been in that position before, you know what I mean? And they know how to push against that force. So I think there's more to it than just programming accessories based around legs and glutes and, you know, that type of stuff. But one of the most common things you might see, like, is elbow pain, shoulder pain, like people restricted in external rotation. So, like, what do you do there? Maybe you need to start working some drills in external rotation on squat day. Or one of the things I found that worked really, really well for me as a lifter who gets elbow pain, bicep pain when they squat, is making sure that I do some exercises before I squat that loosen up my thoracic and get it warm and get my shoulders moving really well, so that when I do get under the bar, my cold muscles aren't getting jammed into this like fucking external rotation position. And then I end up coming out of my squats with less pain in my elbow or none at all.
Yeah. Yep. And obviously each time a pain comes up, it's like, it's there for a reason. Like, it's like you've got some kind of movement restriction or something's been overloaded because something else isn't doing its job properly. So it's like that is going to be holding you back. Like, whether it's holding you back because of the pain or whether it's holding you back because, like, there's a weak link in your chain and you're only going to be as strong as your weak link. And that's probably going to be what leads to an injury if you keep ignoring it. Like, if you ignore things, they don't go away.
Yeah, trust me, I know. My abductor's still there. That'd be a good way to end it.
Alrighty.
So, thanks, guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode.
See you, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.